So I intentionally don't Google churches I go to. The reason is I don't want anything to jeopardize the integrity, the legitimacy of the prophetic impartation. Now, others could do that. I'm not judging you if you do. I'm just saying that's just my polity. I had no idea whatsoever what I was coming into. So if you go back to yesterday and look at the video, the first few minutes were like, what in the world is going on here, right? Like, I'm going like, what is this? Because we could flow by the grace of God. He's given us like just it's by his grace. 1 Corinthians 15:10. I could do a Southern Baptist convention today. I could do like a super unbridled charismatic expression the next day. So it's not that I'm bipolar. It's just like you're able to flow in various streams, right? So I had no idea. And then yesterday, the whole app, and then, and I'm going, so I'm allowed to prophet? Okay. And so then I remember like 3 years ago, Mama Cindy Jacobs, one of my seven elders, Cindy prophesied, gave me a word and said, Sammy, do you know Charles? And no, I don't. Pennsylvania? No, I don't. She goes, well, you will. You'll be there. And so it hit me afterwards. And then, so this is just so, I'm going to flow the way we flow. So if that's offensive for you, get over it. And my point to you is, it's a different culture out there. I have to say, with great due deference, get over it. I was in the green. I heard the Holy Spirit just drop a word and just say, it's a season of redeeming and removal. Let me explain. There are things God wants to redeem and things God wants to remove. And in this right now, this time, this the stamp on time right now, it is. The Spirit of God just placed that in people that are attending today, this morning session. There's things that he's removing in order to redeem other things, and there are things that he's redeeming in order to remove some things. But it's a season of redeeming and removal, and you need to have the Wi-Fi, the maturity, the prophetic bandwidth, the discernment to be able to distinguish between the things he wants to redeem and the things he wants to remove. So in this season, he'll bring clarity to that. Let me just give you a passage of scripture that may seem a little bit initially like, where's he coming from? But you'll hear the outline. Revelation chapter 5. This morning, I spoke to Hispanic pastors that were gathered here. Que viva la revolución para siempre, nombre aquí. So the Hispanic, you have there's a young man named Chepe, who Chepe is like the Latino John Maxwell. Not making this up. The man's brilliant, anointed, gifted, his integrity. You're going to be hearing a lot more about Chepe. And God brought him to the United States with a prophetic mandate to train leaders and to remove the lids. So you're going to be, now watch this, the Hispanic. Years ago, I was in Congress when I was working with President George W. Bush. They brought me in as an advisor, Karl Rove did, on a number of issues. And one of them had to do with immigration and all that. So I'm there working with Karl Rove, working with President Bush. This is like 2006. And there was a meeting in Congress, there was a press conference, and then someone asked, you know, Reverend Rodriguez, why are people so, this 2006, why are people so this issue about Hispanics in America and immigrants, what's the issue, what's the angst? And I said, I want people to come here legally, not illegally. It's a blessed community, but we want to respect the sovereignty of the rule of law and all of that, right? I gave that entire speech, and then they went, yeah, but why are certain people like this thing with Hispanics? And then it hit me. So I said it. I went, the angst and the tension regarding the current immigration melees lies embedded in the very construct of the word Hispanic. The reporter looked at me and went, what did you just say? Just like row number 5 over there right now. What do you mean? And I went, let's break it down, 2 syllables. Capital H, his. Second word, panic. Reporter went, what? I went, we are Hispanic. We're not here to make you invest more in Taco Bell. We're not here to prompt you to dance La Macarena, salsa, merengue, or cha-cha-cha. We're not here for you to download more of Mark Anthony, Jennifer Lopez, Bad Bunny, whatever Bad Bunny may be. We are Hispanic. We are here to bring panic to the kingdom of darkness in the name of Jesus. So I commend you and applaud you for networking this community right now. I love it, brilliant. Watch, I'm gonna just prophesy something about Latinos in California, even though we're not in California, across the nation. Hispanics, because we're the most pro-life community in America, according to Pew Research, we're gonna turn a state that is the womb of... Y'all didn't hear that. Y'all didn't hear that. We're gonna flip some stuff towards righteousness and justice. In the words of Gomer Pyle, surprise, surprise, surprise. Anyone under 35 is just Googling Gomer Pyle. Revelation chapter 5. But one of the 24 elders said to me, stop weeping. Look, the line of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. This is what Spirit of God placed in my heart. It's yesterday there was a segue embedded in the message for this. If you're taking any notes, good luck with that. Here we go. Here's the prophetic outline. A lion's roar marks his domain. Yeah. Write that down. The lion of the tribe of Judah has won the victory. Read it. Not that he will win. It says he has won. Stop weeping. Somebody say stop weeping. Stop weeping, and we have been through a weeping season with great legitimacy behind it. And I love the psalmist's promise that weeping may last for the night, but Psalm 30, verse 5. One more time. Weeping may last for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. I'm prophesying over Pennsylvania and America. Let not your heart be troubled. It's morning time. I'm telling you, this weeping season is coming to an end. It will not last forever. There's going to be more. I mean, we're going to, yeah, look at the lion. Watch this. He has won, not will win. And I know some of us look at time from a linear perspective, but God works without outside the confines of time, within our reality of time. He already won the victory. He is worthy. The lion of the tribe of Judah has won the victory. Not that he will win. He won. That he will triumph one day. He already did. Whatever you're confronting, whatever you're facing, whatever you're fighting, I'm telling you right now to rejoice. The lion of the tribe of Judah has already won the victory. So he already won the victory. He won the victory. Now, Jesus is described here both as a lamb and a lion. I love this. Both a lamb and a lion. Stop looking. The lamb and the lion. He's described as the lamb and a lion both. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you have put on the full nature of Christ. So if Christ is both a lamb and a lion, and we have the nature of Jesus, then we as Christians have to be both lambs and lions. Yes, you may look like a lamb, but you have to roar like a lion. And in a world full of hyenas, serpents, and wolves, it's time for holy lions to rise up. The metaphorical prophetic application of Jesus as the quintessential lion does not just say he's a lion. He's the lion of the tribe of what? That's important because The lion and Judah component are important. You already know this. Your simple biblical exegete here. The word Judah means what? It means praise. So it means praise. You're going to get this in a second, how he marks his territory. A lion's roar can be heard a distance, and you could do your due diligence here, of approximately 5 miles. The lion marks its territory with its roar. So the way the lion works in his kingdom, as far as the roar will reach, that's his territory. Wherever my roar reaches, that's my territory. So the lion's enemies, according to National Geographic, which never lies, the lion's enemies respect the roar. If they hear the roar, they don't enter in. Unless there's a commitment, they find the lion outside his pride. Amos, let me make it legal. Amos 3 verse 8 says, the lion has roared, and who isn't frightened? The sovereign Lord has spoken. So who can refuse to proclaim his message? Your roar, your praise, your worship, your prayer time, it marks your territory. It truly does. Do not permit anyone. Let me be specific here about praise and worship here for a moment. It's not emotional exuberance. Again, I may preach like like Kirk, but I think like Spock. And so it's the atmosphere here in this house and what you create. And let me just give you a word. In this season, God is going to detox your relationships. He is going to sanitize your atmosphere, and he's going to vaccinate your future and your destiny. So he's doing it now. And so your atmosphere, because we're so committed to a worship expression where we usher in the presence of God, your praise marks your territory. Your worship marks your territory. Do not permit anyone or anything to occupy your praise and your worship. 1 Samuel chapter 17, the Philistines gathered the forces for war and they assembled in Judah. The first thing they did, they occupied Judah, which means what? Praise. The enemy wants to occupy your praise. He wants to occupy your worship. The enemy begins by taking away your worship, your praise, because that's your atmosphere. All things are possible. If he can interrupt your worship, then the warfare will tilt towards his favor. So do not permit anything to occupy your praise, your worship expression. None of that. Matter of fact, I found out that praise and worship is actually a mathematical equation. The size of your praise, your worship, is directly proportional to the magnitude of the hell that God took you out of. Let me repeat that. Growing up in a Latino church, I used to think that praise and worship were a culturally contextualized manifestation of a theological worldview or of a religious expression. So I was myopic in my way of thinking. I thought it was about polity and cultural dynamics. Let me break that down in layman's terms. I believed growing up that certain cultures had an affinity for more vibrant and fluid expressions of worship and praise. What does that mean? I thought Latinos and African Americans got their praise on. Basically, I thought white people worship like Spock and that people of color will worship like Kirk. Oh, it's emotional. It's culturally contextualized. I was wrong. Then I started traveling around the world, and I mean around the world. With the exception of Antarctica, I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I've been there. And then I discovered that I was wrong. I discovered the size of your praise is directly proportional to the magnitude of the hell that God takes you out of. What does that mean? If God took you out of a little hell, then you give him a little praise. But if he saved you, if he delivered you, if he healed you, if he turned you around and placed your feet on solid ground, if God transformed you, then you give him the best praise, the highest praise, the best worship. You mark that territory. Don't let anything. Number two, a lion's roar provokes his children to come back. You miss that. And let me say that one more time, and I sense just an impartation there. A lion's roar provokes his children to come back. Una vez más para que lo entiendan. El rugir del león. A lion's roar provokes his children to come back. Hosea chapter 11, verse 10. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, his sons shall come trembling from the west. Oh, you missed it. You missed it. You missed it. I'm here to tell you to get ready. Your roar is about to get louder. Your children and your children's children are about to hear your prophetic roar, and they are about. Let me say it again. Your children and your children's children are about to hear your roar, and they are about to come back. Are there any lions in the house this morning here in Harrisburg?
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Samuel Rodriguez here on TBN. This show is completely sponsored and paid for by New Season Church in Sacramento, California. Newsmax magazine has rated New Season Church one of the top 15 fastest-growing megachurches in the country. They also named Pastor Sam Rodriguez one of the top 100 Christian leaders in America. If you have ever been blessed by this program, this church, or Pastor Sam, would you consider partnering with us by making a donation? There are many ways to give. The QR code on the screen can be scanned by your phone. You can text NSSAC to the number 77977 or by going to newseasonworship.org and clicking Give at the top of the page. New Season is a church that looks a lot like heaven. And every week, this program strives to give you a message that sounds like it came from heaven. Content that is meant to encourage, edify, and inspire you. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, and this program is meant to bring forth the Lamb's agenda. Thank you for considering giving to this program, so that the message of Jesus Christ can continue to be broadcast on TBN to over 2 billion potential viewers across the globe. No matter the amount, any donation helps keep this program running. Would you please consider partnering with us? In doing so, we have the ability and opportunity to change the world.
We are about to see our sons and daughters come back. No, listen, we are about to see our sons and daughters come back. Turn the porch light on, baby. We are about to see our sons and our daughters come back home. And even the prodigal sons and daughters, that left for various reasons, left because they were led away, led astray, they deviated. Some of them led because just the enemy just confused them and they fell and then just the fleshly inclination towards sin and unrighteousness. Some of them left because the church placed a lid through dogmatic constructs that are outside alignment the word of God. And somehow dogma trumped doctrine, but they're coming back. They're coming back. Some of the voices you'll be hearing in the next 3 years will be prodigal sons and daughters that are coming back this year. So, if you believe that, just say yes. Yes, yes. I would remind you from yesterday that the children will not inherit your sins, they will inherit your blessings. That God, somebody say, God conquers. We possess, our children inherit. God conquers, John 16, 33. I have conquered the world. We possess, Numbers 33, 53. Take possession of the land and settle it. I have given it for you to occupy. And Proverbs 13, 22, a good man leaves a what? An inheritance to his children's children. So it's important that you understand that there is a National Geographic story, Discovery Channel National Geographic special, and they showed a lot, pretty cool story, man. They showed a lion before battle and then after battle, and they showed a lion like this after the battle, and it wasn't against hyenas, it was against other lions. Interesting enough, some of the most biggest scars we get are. And that's a different story another day. We'll leave it there. And they show the lion like this, and the lion was bleeding, and the narrator of the National Geographic special said, you know, in that beautiful narrating voice, and we find the lion. Seems to be mortally wounded. And they have the lion bleeding profusely here, and over here were his little babies. And he just went through the battle. Then they showed the hyenas coming around this way, taking advantage of this bleeding, not scarred, but now bleeding, just fresh wounds, bleeding lion. And they were about to eat up the babies, devour the babies, just tear them apart. And all of a sudden, they show the lion. And the narrator says, and the lion has absolutely very minimal strength. He can't raise his paws and claws. He can't even raise his head. They show the lion, couldn't open up his eyes. And they said, but here's what the lion has. And all of a sudden, you hear from this lion that's been wounded, a roar. It was a broken roar, but it was still a roar. It was a broken roar, but it was a roar nonetheless. And the lion, sensing via the conduit of instinct that his babies were about to be devoured, he released a roar. The roar was broken, but it was, and it was broken. And yet, without exception, the narrator says this, now we find, without exception, that not some, all the hyenas fled and refused to touch the babies. The narrator says this, the enemies of the lion know very well that as long as the lion can roar, they cannot take away what belongs to him.
We need a church, no matter what we're going through. We need believers. We need families. We need moms and dads. We need spiritual moms and dads. I don't care what you've been through. As long as you can roar, as long as you can prophesy, as long as you can worship, the enemy will not take away what belongs to you.
That roar. Yeah. Are there any questions? Number three, a lion scar grants access to new territory. Do you have some of the images up there? Can you put the images up? That right there. The lion scar, Proverbs 30:30, the lion, king of animals, who won't turn aside for anything. Every single presentation, biblically substantiated. And I want to land on this here. It's the lion scar that will grant them new territory. We alluded to this yesterday, to the South Africa experience. There is an idea, there is a teaching now, I find it to come from the pit of hell. It's called perpetual victimization. The enemy's objective is to make you a permanent victim. If you can drink the Kool-Aid and walk around, woe is me, easily offended by absolutely anything and everything, the enemy will win. The church can't drink the Kool-Aid. We have to push back on this. Everything offends me. I am offended by people that are easily offended. That's not who we are. Now, pastors, are we ever? Yeah, we may be a victim for a moment, for a minute, for a millennial minute. You may be a victim, but you can't live there in perpetuity. You can't be both more than a conqueror and a permanent victim. And the enemy is attempting to even put permanent victimization lids on classes in our society, on races, on ethnicities. If you can believe you're a permanent victim, then he wins. Oh, man, we are not eternal victims. We are not the devil's punching bag. We are not cursed. We are not defeated. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. If you overcame something in your lifetime, raise your hands. I mean, we overcame you name it, from multi-generational realities, confusion, infirmity, brokenness, unforgivity, negativity, so many things we overcame. And that overcoming empowers us to understand that in Jesus' name, nothing will deter you. You are a Romans 8:37 byproduct. Nothing will deter you. My parents, we overcame some generational things that were limiting us. So when I received that prophetic word when I was 14, I've been preaching for a long time. Started preaching after I received that prophetic word. So 14, I get that word. I gave my first sermon when I was 14. I did my first outing when I was 16. Started our television ministry when I was 18. It's been a long time. So all these years, I told you that my wife was in the audience, right? So was my mom and so forth. But my wife and I have had a 31-year conversation about one interesting thing. My wife has, and this is written, I mean, CT'd, all the profiles they've done on me, they've written about when he was 14, Pastor Sam had this encounter. And my wife and I have always had a conversation. She says, hey, wouldn't it be cool if you could ever connect to that choir director from Teen Challenge, right? So that's like 31 years we've had this conversation. Matter of fact, she would even ask with great due deference, yeah, we have to do that now because it's part of the polity. She would say, hopefully that person's still alive, right? And I go, yeah, that'd be cool and like awesome. So I've been preaching for all these years and I come to this conference. I arrive here yesterday, I preach. I come to this conference. This story, if you Google it, it's everywhere. It's in books from Time Magazine to New York Times. They've talked about this. Sam, 14 years old, Sam claims that he, yeah, I mean, people were there, a couple hundred people there. So it's been validated. So pretty cool. So I come to this conference yesterday. God gives me the word about be light and burning bright and all that. And then at the Well, where are you, Bernie? Where's he at? Where did he go? Is he here? Can you come here? Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time ever in my life, I want to introduce you to the person who prophesied to me.
Yeah.
come up here. Ladies and gentlemen, when I was 14 years old, this man went to my Assembly of God church in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and he prophesied into me about presidents of the United States of America. This is gonna sound awkward. I've been looking for you all of my life. You need to tell them just the whole thing, please.
Well, we were singing song David Wilkerson, actually, he loved, Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. And right in the middle, God said, you need to step out. There's somebody here named Sammy. And I said, Bernie, you're crazy. His name is Sammy? And I thought, well, it's a Hispanic church. There's probably at least one Sammy in the crowd. And he said, step out, stop the song, say, man of God. He's not a man of God right now, but he's a man of God. That's how I see him. Tell him he will speak to presidents. And all these years, I have read about Reverend Samuel Rodriguez, but when you told the story, I looked at my wife and she looked at me and she said, is that our Sammy? I'm going to send you a picture of my wife and I in my office. I think you can see the little note that says Sammy, because we knew God was going to use you. And we prayed your name, and we said your name. You take that prodigal, say his name, pray his name, say her name, pray her name, speak it. Let the Ryan run!
Sam Rodriguez, best-selling author, film producer, and pastor of New Season Church in Sacramento, has a new book, Persevere with Power, What Heaven Starts, Hell Cannot Stop.
Because I am believing in the name of Jesus that before this is over, you're going to go from a plow to a mantle, and you're going to walk out of an anointing that will enable you to change your life for the glory of Jesus.
Order this book now, and while supplies last, receive a free gift by emailing your receipt to books@newseasonworship.org.